We're at the bottom of Dalet on the base, and because this is all Divrei Agoda, not that Chas v'Shalom it's less important, but nonetheless we will go through it more quickly because we want to get back into the halachic sugyas, but I don't want to miss out, so we're going to go through this as quickly as we possibly can. We saw that somebody who is Seimach Geula L'Tfila becomes a Ben Olam Haba. So have a look now, it's two lines before the very wide lines. The first word on the line is Kegeula. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Avinu, Kol Ha'omer Tehillah LeDavid B'chol Yoyim. What Tehillah LeDavid? We mistakenly think or quote that there's a parak called Ashrei. There's no such parak called Ashrei. The parak begins with Tehillah LeDavid. Ashrei Yeshrei is the psukim in the previous parak. If you say Tehillah LeDavid, which is what we call Ashrei, Shalosh Pa'omim, every day Shalosh Pa'omim, when is those three times? Once in Psukkah de Zimra, once Ashrei Volatziyin, once for Mincha, then Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. Why? Why is he guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba? What's so special and unique about Ashrei? My timer, says the Gemara, I Leima, if you're going to tell me, Mishum De Asya Ba'alaf Beis, we know that all of the Ashrei is written Aleph Beis. Ashrei Yishrei, B'chol Yoyim, Godoil, etc., etc. Doir L'doir. So because it's Aleph Beis, that gives it special unique quality because Aleph Beis means it's all-encompassing. This is not just an ordinary praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an all-encompassing praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it goes from Aleph to Tav.
Except
the Gemara. Gemara, we're going to talk about that soon. Says the Gemara, if that's the reason, Neima Ashrei Smimei Derech. So what about Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, which we know also is written in the series of Aleph Beis, B'tmanya Apin, eight times. We know Kuf Yud Tes is the longest parak in Tehillim. It's 176 psukim, just like Parashas Nosei. And the reason it's 176 psukim is because it goes through the Aleph Beis, and each one is eight psukim. So 8 times 22 is 176. So if Ashrei is so unique because it's got Aleph Beis, maybe we should say Kuf Yud Tes. Can you imagine having to say Kuf Yud Tes three times every single day? So therefore, if the whole reason why Ashrei is so unique is because of Aleph Beis, so what about Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes? Maybe we should say that. Says the Gemara, El Amishum, it's a different reason. Because the is bay poiseach es yodecho, because it's got the pasuk of poiseach es yodecho. What's so unique about the pasuk of poiseach es yodecho? Because the pasuk carries on poiseach es yodecho umazbia lechol chai rotzen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds absolutely every live creature in the world lechol chai, and that's very, very special praise. Says the Gemara, one second, neima halil hagodet. So for that price, if you're looking for a pasuk which describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides food, sustenance for every live creature, then in Hallel, it says there, Diksiv be'noisim lechem l'chol basar. So therefore, we're a little bit stuck. If Ashrei is unique because of the Aleph Beis, then you could say Kuf Yud Tes. If Ashrei is unique because it says noisim, poseach es yod, then you could say hello. Says the Gemara, you're right. Elamishum the isbei tarzi. The answer is it has both. Ashrei is unique because it has both the Aleph base, so it's the all-encompassing praise, and also it's got this very special pasuk of poseach es yodecho masbi alachol chai rotzoin. It says Rashi, the isbei tarzi. Firstly, the Rashi beforehand says, Shalosh Pa'omim is keneged Shalosh Tfilois, even though we don't say Ashrei at Ma'ariv. This Beitarati, because number one, the Osi Ba'alav Beis, because it comes in the format of Aleph Beis. And also, the Yesh Boi Shevach, because it's got the praise in that Pasuk of HaChonas Mazin, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares sustenance, L'Kol Chai, for every live creature. Says the Gemara, again, we're going quickly. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Pnei Ma Loi Nemar Nun. Ba'ashrei. Every letter, as you mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan, every letter is there except the letter Nun. Every letter is there instead of Nun, because, as we know, we go straight from Malchuscha, Malchus Koilamim, Mishaltcha B'chol Doir V'Doir. And instead of going with the Nun, we then say, Soymech Hashem, R'chol HaMayfim. There's no Nun. What happened to Nun? Says the Gemara, Mipnei ma aloi nema nun biashri, Mipnei sheyesh bo mapoloson. Nun stands for the word nefila. Neufel. Downfall. Therefore, David HaMelech did not want to begin with the word Nun, even though he could have used a different word. But it's a remez to Mapoloson shel Seini Yisrael. Seini Yisrael is a euphemism. Seini Yisrael literally is translated as those who hate Yisrael, but it doesn't just mean that. It means even members of Klal Yisrael, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to punish them, and that's called Neufel. And therefore, Nun was missed out. The Ksiv, because there's a pasuk and it says in Omois, Nofla, once they fall, Loi Toisif Kum Besulas Yisrael, and they don't get up again. So that's a very, very scary notion, and therefore David HaMelech did not want to include that in Tehillim. B'ma'arava, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Mataretzi Lahochi, they understood the pasuk differently. Nofla, Loi Toisif. What does that mean, Loi Toisif? According to the first translation of the Pasuk, you've got to read it all in one breath. Nafla, once they fall, Loi Toisif Kum. They do not additionally get up. They will never get up again. But in Eretz Yisrael, they translated, they said you've got to put a comma in the middle of the Pasuk. Nafla v'loi Toisif. They'll fall and they will not additionally what? Limpoil. They will not fall additionally, comma. Oid kum besulas Yisrael. Once again, Yisrael will rise. So that's a very, very different, maybe almost opposite translation of the first translation. The first translation is they'll fall and they will not get up. Second translation is they will fall and they will not fall further, and then they will get up. Which, by the way, is very, very strange, because even though on occasion, or a number of occasions, we have a machlokes or differing translations of a pasuk, but here they're not just different translations, they're opposite translations. The first translation is a Klal Yisrael can get to a matzah when they fall and they don't get up. And the second translation is no, to the contrary, they'll fall, but they won't fall any further, and then they will get up. So that's rather bizarre to have two translations of the same pasuk, which is not just different, but actually opposite. So I once heard, I did not see this inside, but one of the rabbonim in Ramat Bet Shemesh Gimel, his name is Rav Meirovich, he spoke in our shul last year on Tisha B'Av. And he said in the name of the Vilna Goyen that it's not opposite. Because what it means is that sometimes Klal Yisrael get to a place where it's so low, and precisely at the lowest point, that's when their resurgence begins. And that's what this second pasuk means. When they fall, the Toisev Linpoil Oid, they cannot possibly fall anymore. And it looks the world like they're never going to recover. That's exactly when the resurgence begins. And why did he speak about this on Tisha B'Av? Because this is very Tisha B'Av related. Chazal tell us that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. So just when it gets to absolute rock bottom, you think it can't possibly get worse. That is exactly when the resurgence begins. Now, this particular Rav normally speaks in our shul on Tisha B'Av after Mincha. And he's mentioned this Yisoid on more than one occasion, that we know that actually the Beis HaMikdash was put to fire on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, towards the end of the day, and it spilled over towards the 10th. That's why we have some halachas of Avelus on Yud as well. So isn't it strange that the very time when the Beis HaMikdash was up in flames, which is towards the end of Tisha B'Av, that's exactly when we start receding some of the halachas. The most intense halachas of Tisha B'Av is in the night and the morning. But once you get to the afternoon, it's after Chatzos, you can already sit on a chair. We put on tefillin. So things are beginning to look up exactly at a time when we actually hit rock bottom. That's why he always quotes this Gemara, exactly. It's a very, very, very big Yisoid. That sometimes, whether it's Klal Yisrael as a nation, or each one of us as an individual, it's precisely at the time when we think that it just looks so bleak and hopeless, that's exactly when the resurgence begins. And that's the lesson of this Gemara. When it says, Nofla v'loitosiv lin poiloi, they can't fall anymore. That's it. We've hit rock bottom. So therefore, we can mistakenly think, and that's it. So we've hit point of no return. No, that's exactly the point that our return begins. So you get to Tisha B'Av, the most intense moment when they actually put the Beis HaMikdash up in smoke, and that's when you start putting on tefillin, and that's when you can sit on chairs. So after he gave this very beautiful drasha in our shul last Tisha B'Av, I approached him after Tisha B'Av and I said to him, I'd like to add one line, if I may, to your very beautiful drasha. By the way, he always quotes, and of course this is the obvious connection, the very, very, very famous Gemara, everybody knows, everybody quotes, at the end of Makkos, when they walked towards the Beis HaMikdash and they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh Kodshim, and they cried, and Rabbi Akiva laughed, and he said, etc., etc. So again, this is the same Yisoid. Precisely at the point when he saw that Klal Yisrael had hit rock bottom, you've literally got a fox coming out of the Kodesh Kodshim, he laughed. Why? Because if you've hit rock bottom, then you know the resurgence is on its way. That's always been our story. So I said to this particular Rav, I'd like to add, if I may, one line. Why indeed is that the mechanics? It's true, there's many proofs for it, but why is that true? Why is that true that when a person hits rock bottom, that's when the resurgence begins? When Klal Yisrael hit the 49th level of Tumah, that's exactly when Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. It's true, there's many, many sources and proofs that back this up, but why is that the case? So I pointed out to him a kliyoka, a quite phenomenal kliyoka. This is to be found in Parshas Vayetze. And the kliyoka says a phenomenal thing. This is very, very important in our day-to-day lives in Avodas Hashem. Precisely at the point when it looks most bleak, precisely at the point when it just seems that we've hit rock bottom, again, either as a nation or as a family or as an individual, that's precisely the point when there is maximum clarity that there is nobody to turn to but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the resurgence can begin. Because it's precisely at that point when you're absolutely at rock bottom, it could not look more bleak if possible. Then the realization is overwhelmingly clear. There is nobody who can possibly help other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though it's something we always know, but we feel it most in the most difficult of moments. So that's why you get to a situation of Nofla v'loitosiv linpoil kum. Loitosiv linpoil oid. They cannot fall anymore. We've hit rock bottom. Finish. It couldn't be worse. Well, if it couldn't be worse, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us. Whilst that's true all the time, as we've mentioned many times, the doctors, for example, who say to a patient, sorry, there's nothing we could do. From now on, only God can help. which is, of course, apikorsis of the highest order. Because until then, it was also only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who could help. But what they mean, or at least the way we should understand what they mean, is whilst it was always true that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofei Chelei Am Yisrael, but now that sensation is at its clearest. And if that's the case, it's indeed more likely that it will happen. Because then our bitochen is clear. Those of you who are with us in our Vadim and Chavos Avovashar bitochen will remember that a key element in bitochen is to be boiteach only in Hashem, not just also in Hashem. We're all boiteach in Hashem, every single person, to varying degrees. Everybody has bitochen. The problem is we have bitochen in other koiches as well, and sometimes we have too much bitochen in ourselves, or in our money, or in our chochma, or in other people. And the avoda of bitochen is to realize that all of those are only a medium. It could be the greatest doctor, it could be the greatest politician, it could be the greatest lawyer, whoever it may be. They're all just pawns in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. So too, the kelim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me might give me $1 million. That's just a vehicle. I'm not boiteach in my money. I'm boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm grateful for him for having given me money. So even a gvir, a wealthy individual, he'll tell you for sure I'm boiteach b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but maybe he means I'm also boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he loses all his $1 million and he realizes he hasn't got a penny left, then all of a sudden he's boiteach only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't be boiteach in his money because it's gone. So that's when he's hit rock bottom. The wealthiest man in town can become a pauper overnight. But that's when he realizes that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help him. It was always true, but now he sees it and he feels it most clearly. So precisely at the time when Klal Yisrael, or us as individuals, hit a situation, whether it be financial or health or shalom bayis or whatever it may be, chinuch hayalodim, gashmias ruchnis, whenever we in our struggles hit a situation which just seems so bleak and so hopeless, that's what we actually need to know. It's just now become more hopeful, because that's precisely the time when it's easiest to strengthen ourselves in bitochen.
There's a line from Gilbert and Sullivan's opera, Iolanthe. Dark, yeah. dark the dawn when day is nigh. Hustle your horse and don't say die.
Don't say die. Okay. Yish chochma bagoyim tamim. Says the Gemara, Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, Afilu Hachi, even though it's true that David HaMelech did not want to include a pasuk beginning with the word Nun, beginning with the letter Nun, because that stands for Nafila, and he didn't want to mention anything about Nafila, but he did nonetheless include it, albeit just with a hint. And where was that? In the very next pasuk, because what does it say? Chazar David v'somchom beruach hakodesh. The David HaMelech put it back in with ruach hakodesh, albeit not explicit, because in the very, very next pasuk, what does it say? Seimech Hashem l'chol hanoiflim. Kadosh Baruch Hu should support all those who fall, says Rashi. Afilu och yafal pi shehifzik nun. Even though he missed out the number pnei nefila shabbat v'loy ovo l'ramza, and he did not want to hint or refer to the downfall of Klal Yisrael, but nonetheless chazar v'ramaz, but he went and he hinted smichas hanafila, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports those who fall, take a flaw. Immediately after that pasuk, in fact, it's the very next pasuk, seimach Hashem l'chol hanoiflim. Okay, Raboisai, weiter. Omer Rabbi Elazar bar Avina. Why are we mentioning this, even though it's got nothing to do with our subject, but the last Gemara also quoted the same person, Omer Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, so now it quotes him again, the Heilige Amira. Omer Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, Godoil Mashenemar b'Michael, Yoyis Samim Mashenemar b'Gavriel. Greater is what's written with Michael than that which is written by Gabriel. Why? Now look at Rashi. Vayoif Eli b'pricha achas. I'm wondering, Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda, how do they translate that in Rabbi Art Scroll? Why is Michael considered
one shot
greater than Gabriel? Yes, why?
That's true to me.
What does that mean? That means the Malach. Again, this is all very deep and almost Kabbalistic. But the Malach, what, approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one shot? That's what it means?
But I'm sorry, I think it's in a note somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not in the translation.
Well, the translation is one of the seraphim flew to me, that's by Mikhail.
Yeah.
And then it says, by Gabriel, it says, by Ish Gabriel, let's see, and the man Gabriel, whom I saw in the earlier vision, was lifted in flight, etc.
So lifted in flight is two. With Michal, it says one. So why is Michal considered greater? Do they explain that?
Yeah, for that reason.
Because?
I think this. Oh, no, they got a quote, Marshah. Michal is appointed to carry out missions of mercy. He goes directly to his destination without pause. Gabriel is appointed, and the Marshah again, is appointed to execute missions of strict judgment, and he is required to pause on the way to give the guilty party time to repent.
So, again, I can't really claim that I understand the workings of angels, but Michael, as it were, reaches his destination in one shot, Gabriel in two. As you've explained, because Michael works with the Midas HaRachamim, Gabriel with Midas HaDin. So even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to dispatch Gabriel to carry out some din, but it's done in two shots, meaning he doesn't arrive at his subject immediately. There's a waiting station on the way in order to allow the intended destination some time to be chayzeh b'tshuva. Says the Gemara, "Mai mashma dahai echod Michael hu." How do you know that first passage that talks about echod? How do you know it's talking about Michal? The word Michal does not appear there. I'm Rabbi Yechonon, I've got a gzeira shava asya echod, quote unquote. Echod, quote unquote. Ksiv hocha, it says over here by Yo'ef Eli, Echod min asrafim. And I've got another pasuk elsewhere, v'ksiv hosam, v'hinei Michael, Echod min asar marishayim in bola azreini. So that Echod is a reference to Michael. Tana, as we said before, Michael ba'achas. Michael arrives in one shot, Gabriel b'shtayim, Eliyahu ba'arba, u'malach ha'moves b'shmoyne. Except Bishas Amageifa Ba'achas. Do they bring any explanation, Rabbi Yosef, of why Eliyahu is Ba'arba, why the Malach HaMoves is 8?
Eliyahu 46. It says, see the Ma'ashur. The Ma'ashur has an explanation.
Oh, okay. Fine. Omar Rabbi Yeshua Belevi, second bottom line. Afal Pishakara Odom Krishma Babesa Knesses. Even though a person has read Kriya Shema in the shul, mitzvah likroisoy al mitosoy, it is nonetheless a mitzvah to read it once again, to recite Kriya Shema al mito. We had this referred to, if you remember right, at the beginning of the perek, the discussion between Rashi and Tosfos about saying Kriya Shema bayoyim. But either way, the Gemara says that you have to say Kriya Shema al mito. Omar Rabbi Yisi Maikro, what is the pasuk that backs this up? This is the pasuk we actually say in Kriya Shema. Rigzu v'al techetou, imru bilvavchem, al mishkavchem. What does it mean, al mishkavchem? Very similar to the word b'shachbucho. As you are lying, v'doimu selo. Doimu means to be silent. Obviously, that's referring to sleep. The last Rashi on the Omud. Al mishkavchem shenema b'shachbucho, v'doimu b'sheino. You'll be silent in sleep, achrei kein. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman. Says Rav Nachman, im Talmud Chacham hu ein tzarich. If, however, he's a Talmud Chacham, then he does not need to say Kriya Shema Lamita. Why not? Says Rashi, Sherogil b'Mishnasay, because he is frequently learning. Lachzer al girsasei tamid, always reviewing his learning. Daya bekach, that's sufficient. So he doesn't need to say Krishma, he's just continuously learning. I once read, have you ever read a book, a very famous book called All for the Boss?
Yes, indeed.
The subject of the book is Mr. Rabbi Herman from the United States of America, who was the father-in-law of Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I once read that Reb Baruch Beh, the great Rosh Hashiva, Reb Baruch Beh Leibovitz, Kamenetz Rosh Hashiva, was fundraising in America, and he was hosted by this Rabbi Herman. Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, who was Rabbi Herman's son-in-law, was on one occasion in his father-in-law's house, and Reb Baruch Beh happened to be staying with his father-in-law. And one day during the day, Reb Baruch Beh went to have a rest, and Rabbi Herman said to his son-in-law, Reb Chaim Pinchas, he says, come, quickly, quickly, I want to show you how a Gadol B'Yisrael sleeps. So they crept silently into Reb Baruch Beh's room where he was laying on his bed, and Reb Chaim Pinchas describes that he seemed to be fast asleep. His hands were held high up above his head for Kedusha reasons, and his lips were in constant motion talking in Torah as he was sleeping, constantly. That's what he said to Reb Chaim Pinchas. That's the way a Gadol B'Yisrael sleeps, even when he's sleeping, but he's always talking in Torah. Al Kolponim, so Al Gemara says, for that reason, the Talmud Chacham does not need to say Kriya Shema because he's forever learning the Dayoi Bekach. Omer Abaya, that no. Af Talmud Chacham, even a Talmud Chacham, Iboi Leilamei Mechad Psukka, Drachami. Even a Talmud Chacham, although I agree with you that he's essentially exempt from Kriya Shema, but he does at least have to say one Pasuk of Rachamim. For example, Kagoin, which is a pasuk in Tehillim. Omer Reb Levi, we're moving quickly. Omer Reb Shimon ben Lakish, a very famous Gemara. La Oilom Yargiz Odom Yetzer Toiv Al Yetzer Hora. A person should always make sure that there's a milchama, a battle between the Yetzer HaToiv and the Yetzer Hora, meaning, don't give in to your Yetzer Hara. Every person has a Yetzer Hara. You've got to make sure there's a battle between him and the Yetzer HaToiv. Shenema Rigzu Va'al Techetou. Rigzu means anger. Make sure the Yetzer HaToiv gets the Yetzer Hara angry, because that way, Al Techetou, you won't sin. Im Nitzchoi, if you see that the Yetzer HaToiv is getting the better of the Yetzer Hara, then Mutav, wonderful. Vim Lav. And what happens if you see the Yetzer HaToiv does not seem to be winning? So then, Yasek Batayra. You should be Yasek Batayra. That's the way you can overcome the Yetzer Hara. Shenema Imrubul Vavchem, Im Nitzchoi, Imrubul Vavchem. Now, Im Nitzchoi, if you see that that does the trick, wonderful. Mutav. Vimlav Yikra Kriya Shema, Shenema Al Mishkavchem. And again, Im Nitzchoi, if that does the trick, so he's tried employing the services of the Yetzer HaToiv. That didn't work. He tried learning Torah. It didn't work. He tried saying Kriya Shema. It didn't work. So what should he do? Vimlav Yizkoir lo Yoim Hamisa. He should remind himself of the day of death. Shanema V'doimu Selam. As we already said, what does doimu mean? Doimu is the day of silence. Look at Rashi on the second line, the doimu selo, yoim hadumiyo. Is that day of great silence? What is that? Hu yoim hamoves. That's the day of death. Shehu dumiyo eilomis. Because that's the eternal silence. So it's true, this is a rather bleak sounding thought, but we need to know that many Gedolei Yisrael used to talk about death very, very openly. And we're very cognizant and very conscious of the fact, again, of something that we all know, but they lived with it. Somebody told me Rav Steinman used to talk about it frequently. The fact that he knew he was only here temporarily, even though he lived a long life, over 100 years. But when a person realizes they're only here temporarily and Misa is something that's inevitable, that inevitably will indeed help him battle the Yetzirah. Says the Gemara, "V'omer Rabbi Levi, b'chama Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, may deksev." What does it mean when it says, "V'etna l'chois luchois ha'even, v'hatoira, v'hamitzvois ashekosavti l'hayroisam"? What does that pasuk mean? Luchois is a reference to Elo Aseres Hadibreis, and Toira ze mikra. Those are the psukim. And what is v'hamitzvah? Zu Mishnah. That's a reference to the Mishnayos. Asher Kosavti is a reference to Elu Neviim v'Ksuvim. And Lohoi Roysam is a reference to Ze Gemara Melameid, Shekulam Nitnu L'Moshe Misinai. This Pasuk, which is referring to Mishnah and Gemara and Neviim and Ksuvim, was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So clearly everything, every part of Torah, even the Mishnayos and the Gemara, the Neviim v'Ksuvim, it was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, we're on the first wide line. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, kala koirei kriya shema al mitosei. Whoever says kriya shema at night on his bed, ki ilu oicheis cherev shel shtei piyos. It's as if he's clutching a sword with two ends, meaning a very dangerous sword. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains that at night time, there are dangerous forces that can circulate. Again, I'm not sure exactly what this is referring to, but there are what Rashi calls is mazikin. And we need some sort of tool to battle or to fend off these mazikin. So if a person says Kriya Shema, then it's as if he's holding a dangerous sword. And that's how he's going to deal with these mazikin. That Kriya Shema is going to be his protection, his shmira. Shenema. Because the pasuk in Tehillim, Roim Mois Kel Bil Groinam, the Cherev Pipiois Biyodam, Pipiois meaning with two blades. My Mashma, Om Mazuch Bitema Rashi Me Reisha Dein Yon. It says in the beginning there, the Ksiv, Yalzu Chasidim Bechavid Yirananu Al Mishke Vaisom. Says it's talking about going to bed. And immediately afterwards, it says, "V'ksiv basrei roimus kel b'groinam v'cherev pipiyos b'yodom." So, what is this great double-edged sword that a person is wielding when he is b'mishkav oisom? The answer is by reciting Kriya Shema. Whoever recites Kriya Shema on his bed, then what will happen? Mazikin bedilin heimenu. Bedilin, is that from the word havdola? Then mazikin, these damaging forces, will be separated from him. So Kriya Shema is his protection. Shenema, it's a pasuk in Iyov, ubnei reshef yagbiehu oif. Ve'ein oif ela teira. Oif is a reference to Torah. Shenema hisif einecha boi ve'einenu. Ve'ein reshef ela mazikin. Shenema mazeira ve'lechumei reshef ektuvim meriri. So again, this is all agadei, but we're learning from Sukkim that the words of the Torah, and specifically the words of Kriya Shema, is his protection against mazikin. Fine. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll continue tomorrow.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Have a good day, everybody. Be well.